Blog Talk Radio. This episode of Kimberly's Intentional Moment is brought to you by the Seika Network on Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello and good morning, at least here on the Pacific Coast of the United States, to everyone else. Hello. I am Kimberly Knauss and your host of Kimberly's Intentional Moment, or the acronym we're using is KIM. And interestingly enough, my boyfriend's 10-year-old made up this logo, or at least came up with the idea of this logo, and then my friend Jen Magel put together the actual logo that you see on the screen there. And we were sitting in a restaurant just going back and forth about what are we going to call the show. And I knew I wanted to use my name. And his daughter just, you know, wrote something down. I think she may have taken 30 seconds, a minute tops, and handed us a napkin and said, what about this? And, you know, it was just one of those moments, again, where you realize, oh, we got to listen to these creative little minds. Before we go into what the show's about, I just have to be really honest with you, my listeners. Radio is new to me. I have been told most of my life that I have a radio voice and just have never been presented with an opportunity to use it on the radio. And my friend, Restita De Jesus, who co-founded the Seika Network, what you're listening to, with Robert Deal, started talking to me about it about a year ago, and it just took me a while to come to the place where I felt comfortable speaking to a larger crowd, a global crowd, even though it's something I've contemplated for quite some time. It felt really big, and so I had to spend some time, you know, getting comfortable with the idea of being heard all over the globe. And her show, in fact, is the Dynamic Dojo, and that's on at 6 o'clock on Sunday night, 6 p.m. And so you should listen in on that. But one of the things that I guess is my fear about being on the radio is that I've been a teacher for about 20 years and a natural leader most of my life, and I've always been able to use my body language and my facial expressions to get an idea across. And so it's different to only have my voice. And, you know, it's almost interesting that I say that, and we're going to have to come back to that because that's pretty loaded and large and interesting to say that all I have is my voice. However, occasionally I will use quote unquote to give you some sort of an idea of what my facial expression might be. This show is going to be about practicing now. And so why, let's go back to why. Why is using my voice a larger loaded picture? Well, on top of the absence of being able to use my body and my face, I had to think about what did I really want to say or what did I really want to talk about? And practicing now is something that, you know, most of us have heard about, read about, talked about, and it almost can seem a little cliche, but it really is something I think we need to be talking about, discussing different practices that people do to practice being present here in all ways. And then, of course, as an aside, on top of that, be happy, because that's what our minds really want anyway, or our egos want anyway. So I want to discuss with you and other teachers and other walks of life and other cultures about practicing now love, peace, and I want us to stay respectful, positive, and supportive. Having said that, I really do encourage feedback, and I mean anything, to help get the message along, to help feed this program, as long as it is constructive feedback. We will have guests on the show. Like I said, one of them I would love on the regular would be one of my teachers, Salvatore Zambito. He and I tend to be quite gregarious when we're together, so that could end up being a lot of fun. Maybe that'll be a monthly thing. We'll take phone calls so that we can have discussion back and forth. And I want to keep the attitude of different is neither good nor bad, black or white. It's just different. We can disagree on something and even learn something. We may have to agree to disagree, and that's okay too. We just want to make sure that everyone on this show is able to share and be heard with dignity. A little bit of my background and how I got to this place is my high school career was all overseas. I lived in Vienna, Austria, and graduated in Kobe, Japan. And I had one of those light bulb moments when I was 17 years old. And I remember because I was standing on one of the streets of Kobe where I realized exactly what I said just a few moments ago, that different wasn't good or bad. It was just different. And because Eastern culture, like Japanese culture, was so different than living in Austria. And I, at the time, I would have said that America was a kind of a middle ground between the two. But because it was so different, and my experiences were so vast, I became a more adaptable child and then adult. And adaptation is something that I also want to discuss on the show, because adaptation helps us have the capacity to enjoy more than one thing in life and more than one person in life, because there are so many different people all over the planet that have so much to offer. I want to discuss with you, when you practice now, what has worked for you? So we're not only going to talk about it and discuss it, but I want to hear about the different paths that you have taken, what has worked for you. And I definitely want us to get vulnerable in a more collective way. Love is vulnerable, so the only way to really practice being in a state of love is to practice, I guess, getting comfortable with the uncomfortableness of vulnerability. Many of you in your life at some point by now have experienced how different packages or outer appearances can be deceiving. Those who may look the strongest may have the most vulnerable story, and that's how they got there. Their practice is what keeps them strong and courageous in the face of fear. Generally speaking, when we're talking about fear on the show, we will not be talking about that survival instinct that is so important for us to stay safe. We're talking more about the acronym false evidence appearing as real. So the stories that we make up. So going back to, for instance, my story going onto the radio, I had to keep telling myself that, you know, failure when you're trying or failure when you are stepping into the unknown is actually a success because you learn so much. And that brings me to how silly I anticipate the show being. I anticipate the show being a lot of laughs, much of a sense of humor, in realizing how our humanness can be funny. We want so badly to be in control. We want so badly to be accepted that we sometimes don't allow ourselves just that latitude of being of failing or of making a mistake. And so when we're talking about fear and courage, we'll be talking about the stories that we make up, and if we're making them up, why are we making up difficult stories, or why are we making up what some of us might consider to be bad or dark stories when we can make up anything we want. And I want to get down to the nuts and bolts, get really nitty in seeing the dark and light side of to everything, and including ourselves, and mostly to encourage one another to know, not just believe or hope, but know that the universe will conspire with us to keep us in balance and to do or to bring about for us what is best for each and every one of us. When we are getting silly and we're laughing at ourselves, I want us to be looking at our environments, not just to make fun of us, but again, to just see how serious we take ourselves, even when it doesn't serve us or anyone else. And I know you thought you were exempt from that, and well, that makes two of us. I take things seriously because they are serious. Anyway, many of you out there know that I love Star Wars. You've probably already heard me say light and dark at least twice, if not three times. I promised some of the listeners out there that I wouldn't make this about Star Wars, and I have to be true to myself. So yes, now and again, Star Wars may be added in either an example or in some sort of silly way. When we talk about practicing now, when we talk about practicing specifically happiness, one of the things that I want to encourage in our conversations is how ridiculous and silly the all or nothing mentality is that we live by. So for instance, in exercise, and we're all familiar with this, where you're supposed to, you know, do, for instance, cardiovascular exercise 3 to 5 times a week. So we say to ourselves, well, you know, starting tomorrow, I will do, you know, 5 days a week of cardio at least 30 minutes with 20 minutes in my heart rate zone. And we, if we do that, we may do that for a week if we're lucky too, especially if we're going from nothing. And then we go back to nothing, because if we're not doing it full speed, then why are we doing it? These are the questions we seem to ask ourselves. Instead, I'm going to ask us to do something rather than nothing. So something could be, at the end of your day, you're laying in bed, and most of my students out there have heard me say this a million times, take 10 deep breaths and call it something, because it is. If you take 10 deep breaths consciously with intention using your entire torso, you will make change over a period of time, and it can be pretty significant. Just that little change over time. So that kind of is a nice way for me to segue into, I give homework. Every week in my classes, I give homework. I definitely give homework in private lessons. I will be doing it on this show, because if we're going to practice together, let's really do that. And that way, each week, we will check in and see, you know, how people are feeling about the practice, what's working for them, what isn't working for them. And breathing is something, I get the joke commonly in class that, well, of course I'm breathing. If I wasn't breathing, I wouldn't be alive. I am talking about conscious breathing. I'm talking about your thinking in one direction. So one of the first stages of meditation, you're putting your mind in one direction and focusing on breathing deep into your torso and then breathing all the way back out. A little later in the show, I'm actually going to go over a breath exercise. So I'll go a little deeper into that when we get to that point. I want the show to be a weekly nudge or a weekly reminder, a support system to this practice. And I really love relationship. Again, another reason that radio was a little daunting to me is that relationship, I'm so used to being able to be sitting next to whoever I'm having relationship with. And I had to think about it being a little bit like we're on the telephone. Again, different because you're not speaking back to me. So that's one of the reasons I want to be sure we have call-ins and have guest speakers so that there is some sort of dialogue going back and forth. Besides, you guys are going to have some of the best questions and the best ideas. I'm going to learn probably more from all of you than you will from me, simply because there's so many of you and you're all over the world practicing in different ways. One of my teachers says, so what? This is something that has helped me in my practice over and over and over again. You know, when I start to go down that ridiculous path of, well, maybe all or nothing, or I'm making up a story that is not supporting me, I say to myself, so what? Another one of my teachers and one of my students brought up, it doesn't matter, it's just matter. So if that's the case, it brings us back to maybe we don't need to take ourselves so seriously, especially when we're in either the face of adversity or just the face of being outside of our box, being in some uncomfortable place that's new. One of my teachers, many years ago, I've had the same two teachers in my life for a good 15 years. And one of them said years ago when I'd had a lot of back problems and I was hugely unhappy and, at one point I couldn't even go to the restroom myself because I was in so much pain. And he says to me on the phone, do you want me to tell you what's wrong? And, you know, that was like a dream come true. Well, yeah, tell me what's wrong. What am I doing wrong? And he said, you feel entitled to something. And I was stumped and a little angry because, you know, when you're in that much pain, the last thing you want is for somebody to feel as though somebody might be poking fun at you. He wasn't, but that's how it felt in the moment. And I said, of course I feel entitled to something. You know, I work out, I eat right, you know, I meditate, you know, why is my body reacting this way? You know, I was a new mother at the time and on my own at home during the day. And so that was really challenging. And he said, yes, you feel entitled to something. And I said, yeah, so, and he said, well, you're entitled to nothing, ever. So if or when you understand that, when you truly understand that you are entitled to nothing, you'll be free. It's kind of like you've probably heard before, and if not, yay, you're going to hear it now, that acceptance sets you free. When you can accept, and that doesn't mean that you like it or that you condone it, whatever it is, but when you can accept what's happening, it frees you up. Well, there's a freedom. It's a lighter feeling right away. I mean, if you can pull to mind for a moment some situation in your life that you cannot accept, and then now take that a step further and think to yourself, what would life be like if I were free from this? If somehow I could accept it and move on. And when we're free, we're able to make, generally speaking, better decisions, as opposed to being confined, constricted, contracted. Lately in my classes, we've been practicing gratitude, because when we're in a place of gratefulness, we are expanding. For a moment, do this little exercise with me. Just bring your attention inward and take a few deep conscious breaths. Again, we'll go over the breathing later, but I want you to just think about, you know, filling your lungs as best you can, and then deflating your lungs or getting rid of as much air as you can. Maybe even breathe out one extra time. Take a nice big inhale and a nice long exhale. Exhale just a little bit more. And do that one more time. Closing your eyes if you need to, or just focusing on a small spot. Feel your feet. And now bring to mind something you're very grateful for. And, you know, in one of my classes I said, you know, not just that you're going to have one of your best cups of coffee, but, and then I was interrupted immediately because I am in Seattle, the coffee capital of the world, and my student was like, that is what I'm very grateful for. So, going back to the practice, anything that you are truly grateful for, bring that to mind. And I want you to notice your heart center. So right in the center of your chest. And again, bring to mind that thing you are very grateful for. Could be, you know, your child's health. It could be that you have people that love you. You just got a really great job. Whatever that is, feel your heart center and notice how it begins to expand or it lightens. You may even notice that you start to smile, because gratefulness feels good, and it's okay to feel good. That's something I'm not sure all of us believe, including myself at times. Somehow, if we feel good, then we're meant to suffer on some other end because of the yin and yang of life, or the dark and light side. And just sit with that for a moment and breathe that gratefulness into all of your cells, as if you were sitting in a tub soaking your body in gratefulness. Cells get lighter. I go even to the place of where I start to see my cells with little happy faces, and perhaps even little tools, like they're starting to repair themselves and heal themselves, little hard hats. You can make up whatever you want. But notice that gratefulness is an expansive practice versus fear being something that contracts and constricts us. I want to encourage you to give me feedback also via email, if that is a better way for you to contact me. And you can do that at kimtalkradio@gmail.com. That is specifically for the show. Again, that's kimtalkradio@gmail.com. Going back to the so what. So we practiced some gratitude. So what? Something's bothering you. So what? It doesn't matter. It's just matter. Or one of the things I'm teaching to the kids that I got from one of my best friends is, what can I do and what am I doing? So I talk about this with elementary school kids, sometimes the high school kids, but I don't see any reason we can't talk about it with all ages. What am I doing now? And now, what am I doing? So for the littles, a lot of times I'm bringing it up so that they're noticing, where is my body? What am I doing with my body? Is my mouth running while my teacher's talking and trying to create a learning environment? Is my mother or friend trying to tell me something that may be important, but I'm not paying attention? What am I doing now? And then again, what am I doing now? And like I said, my best friend says, what can I do? So sometimes we get to that place where you feel, or where we feel that we, which way is up? Or how am I ever going to go back up from this point? Well, sometimes just breaking that down into smaller chunks. What can I do now? So maybe right now I can be grateful for something. It might be I don't think that's small, but I could see how someone could see that practice as very small. You aren't going running for 60 minutes. You're going to sit here for 5 seconds and be grateful, or 20 seconds and be grateful. Practicing that, like I said earlier, over time versus 60 minutes of exercise now and again, you're going to get more benefit probably from the gratefulness practice. One of the other things that I share that's easy, and again, what can I do, or what am I doing, or even so what, is to smile. Again, many of you that are students and friends of mine that I see more often, you've heard me say, you know, smile, because it's an instant facelift and it didn't cost you anything and it doesn't have any, you know, recovery time. And there most likely aren't going to be any repercussions from it other than good ones. When we smile, one of the things we know physiologically is it changes our nervous system and our endocrine system. So it changes the brain chemistry, and it changes our hormones for the better, or in a beneficial way. So when you smile, just curling the lips up, you don't have to Cheshire Cat it if you don't want to, although that's also fun. One of my favorite smiles is Jim Carrey's smile, because it's so big, especially when he's being super silly. But just curling the ends of your lips up changes your face, and therefore changes your brain, and changes your hormones in a beneficial way. When we smile, we automatically, again, like I said, a facelift, we look younger, we look brighter, we look more fresh. And when you practice that on the regular, you'll notice that just that little bit of curling your lips up changes your entire attitude. One of my favorite songs, and my daughter and I play it often, is Pharrell Williams' Happy. And I just don't know how you can stay unhappy listening to that song. In fact, I would like to see that you can't tap your toe. I have to get up and actually dance. Another practice along the same lines as that, bringing up that Pharrell Williams song. My girlfriends and I like to go salsa dancing. And one of the reasons we like it so much is that salsa music to us, and the dance itself, including the place that we go and the energy of the room, but salsa music in and of itself is just happy music. I think that if, you know, you play salsa music and you move your hips around a little bit and you're still in a really bad mood, you must just really want to be in a bad mood. And this show is going to encourage you each week to practice the opposite of that. So practice instead being in a good mood and changing your attitude in any moment, knowing that happiness is your choice and your gift in any moment you can give yourself. And it's catching, like a good virus. We've got to have another way to talk about that. I hate using the word virus. But like a good virus, it's catching. You know, if you're smiling and in a good mood sitting next to another person, even if they're not your friend, it's hard not to feel that energy. Which brings me kind of full circle back to us being in this practice together, getting vulnerable together in a collective way. There is no separation. Energy is energy, and we're all a part of that. And even though I may look like, because there's a little more energy in one area, and so I look more solid, it doesn't mean that I'm impenetrable. And so when we practice love, when we practice peace, when we practice happiness, we automatically encourage others to do the same. I am going to take just a quick 5-minute break here. And in that time, I'm going to play just a couple of different, there's a Tai Chi symposium going on and a public service announcement. And I'd like to hear your feedback on the public service announcements. If there's something that you feel really strongly needs to be heard, let me know about that. And when we come back, we will get a little more into talking about the homework and the breath work.
Hi, I'm Restita De Jesus.
And I'm Robert Deal.
We're the founders of the Seika Network on blogtalkradio.com.
And we've got some great events that we'd like to share with you.
On July 6th through the 11th, 2014, the International Tai Chi Chuan Symposium will present an exciting event where five Tai Chi Grandmasters, each representing the traditional Chen, Yang, Wu Hao, Wu, and Sun styles of Tai Chi, will share their knowledge and skills. Tai Chi practitioners from all levels, including beginners, will benefit from this opportunity to learn and practice directly with the Grandmasters. The five masters that will be teaching at this event are Chen Zhenlei, Yang Jun, Zhang Zhenshan, Ma Hai Long, and Sun Yongtian. You don't even have to be an experienced Tai Chi practitioner to attend. Whether you're a health promotion planner, healthcare provider, personal trainer, martial artist, physical education instructor, or school administrator, all are welcome to attend. Don't miss this opportunity to train directly under the masters. For more information to register for Directly from the Source, just go to www.taichisymposium.com or you can email info@taichisymposium.com.
The new year is a time when many of us resolve to lose weight and eat healthier. But for people who are either overweight or obese, getting to a healthy weight and staying there can require a major lifestyle change. ARC Director Dr. Carolyn Clancy is here to talk about this issue. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Clancy. First, can you give us an idea of how big a problem this is?
This is one of the most serious problems we face. In the United States, obesity among adults doubled between 1980 and 2004. Today, 2 out of 3 adults are considered to be overweight, and about 27% of Americans over the age of 20 are obese. Even more troubling, 17% of all children in the United States are overweight.
How do you define being overweight or obese?
Overweight and obesity are labels for ranges of weight that are greater than what is generally considered to be healthy for a given height. For adults, overweight and obesity ranges are determined by using weight and height to calculate a number called the body mass index, or BMI. An adult who has a BMI between 25 and 29.9 is considered to be overweight. An adult with a BMI of 30 or higher is considered to be obese.
What are some of the risks involved with being overweight or obese?
Studies have found that being obese or overweight increases your risk of developing serious chronic illnesses, such as heart disease, high blood pressure, stroke, diabetes, and several types of cancer. Osteoarthritis, gallbladder disease, sleep apnea, respiratory impairment, and diminished mobility are also associated with obesity.
What would you recommend to the growing numbers of obese individuals who are unable to lose weight on their own?
The good news is that dropping even as little as 5 to 7% of body weight can make you feel better and improve your health. A Blue Ribbon Task Force shows that people can change their behavior through intensive counseling on diet and exercise. This, in turn, can produce modest weight loss for a year or more. People are also increasingly turning to surgery to lose weight. This is a very serious decision, and it's important to choose a surgeon who has a lot of experience.
Dr. Clancy, do you have any advice for parents with children who are struggling with their weight?
A new report from my agency, the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, has found that, along with increasing exercise and eating healthier, behavior management programs also help obese children and teens lose weight or prevent weight gain. The bottom line is that there are options for all family members. The best approach is for you to talk to your doctor to get all the information you need to help you decide what is best for you and your family. I'm Dr. Carolyn Clancy, and that's my advice for navigating the healthcare system.
For more information on weight management and other health-related stories and topics, go to healthcare411.ahrq.gov.
All right. So, Yes, obesity is an issue in our culture and a lot of people that I work with. So I gave you a little of my background on how I got to be or end up on the radio and how important culture is to me and having the aha moment of what different is. I also have not explained to you that I am a yoga teacher and mainly from the Vinny Yoga tradition. I'm also a health fitness specialist and a Reiki practitioner. And what I have noticed in, you know, the 15 plus years that I have been teaching and working with people is that stress is the number one cause of, and I'm talking about detrimental stress, number one cause of us keeping so much weight on. The long and the short of it is that, you know, cortisol is something that helps us keep that flat tire around our bellies, keeps belly fat. So when we're stressed out, we tend to hold on to our fat. So even when you're practicing, you know, exercise and eating fairly well, it can still work against you if your stress levels are really high. Another thing that I touch on, and we'll probably have a show on this at some point, is, you know, a really stressful workout after a really stressful day, the body just sees as more stress. So I encourage my students and the people that I love around me and now encourage you to, you know, pay attention in a day. So it comes back to when we're practicing now, we're paying attention to how we feel. Are we really stressed out? If you are really stressed out, maybe going for a nice meditational walk, noticing your breathing and feeling heel to toe movement is what you need, not to run to the gym and have a stressful workout on top of that. It's just something for you to think about in your practice. When you're eating, you know, taking that extra moment to just taste your food. I mean, part of the wonderfulness of cooking, and believe me when I say, I am not a cook. I don't like to cook. And when I eat my cooking, I sit back and enjoy what I've made, partially because, well, it felt like, you know, hard labor for me to have to make it. So I want to enjoy it anyway. Or enjoy the fruits of my labor, if you will. And that's the point. I mean, using different herbs and spices with a little bit of salt or fat or sugar to just bring out those herbs and spices. So we'll have an entire show at one point. I want to invite one of my friends on who's a vegan, and I'm a meat eater, and we're just going to talk about how those diets work for us. Why we came to that place or why we've made those decisions. We're not there to knock each other down. We're there to encourage one another and maybe come up with some really great recipes on top of that. Anything easy is what I want. I mean, like preferably two steps or less. One of the other things before I teach the breath work and the homework for this week, I want to steer clear of extremes, but that doesn't mean that we can't talk about them. You know, that all or nothing, also extremes on, you know, feeling an extreme way about some sort of topic. Maybe talking to each other and discussing it can bring us to more of a middle ground because extremes are scary to this girl. So on this show, we will discuss them, but we're not going to argue extremes because it's just, I think it gets frightening and we get stuck in the need to be right versus how can we collectively come to a new place together. So let's talk about breath. Okay, so when we breathe, we generally are using about a third of our lung capacity. That's not a lot. And so what we want to do is start to use more and more of our lung capacity. I had a student in class yesterday who said that, you know, she, even breathing can sometimes be stressful to her because it's just something she's not yet comfortable doing. So I want to lay out that, you know, breath work shouldn't ever be forced. You may step into some discomfort, and that's something that we can, you know, again, discuss on the show. Discomfort is not going to feel like when you're holding your breath underwater for too long. That's forced. So that's one way that people can feel if it's just too much. Sometimes those that, people that have asthma may need a little more time to get used to deep breathing, because for them, breathing has at times in their lives been really scary. I'm going to always encourage us to walk through our fear with love, or practice courage, and at the same time, pay attention to what's happening in our bodies so that we don't injure ourselves. Nobody should be getting injured in yoga, and definitely not in pranayama, which is what the Sanskrit word for breath work is. And prana is life force, or chi, ki, depending on what language you're speaking. And ayama means to extend. So practicing breath work is a way for us to extend the life force. So what I'd like for you to do is just come to some sort of comfortable position and take a couple of deep breaths, just like we did earlier. If you can be seated, good. If you're standing comfortable with your knees unlocked, standing up tall, and with your eyes open if you can. Life is full of distractions. Life is full of times that don't feel comfortable or focused, and yet we still have to find a way to focus anyway. So with eyes open, and feel your body as you take these deep breaths, just noticing, how are you breathing? Do you breathe and feel your chest rise? Do you feel your belly rise? Do you feel both rise? And then as you continue to breathe, I want you to take the breath as if you were going to bring it all the way to the end of your pelvis or to your sit bones. And in doing so, even push your belly out very gently. Nothing needs to be done with great force. Just very gently letting your belly expand as if you were taking the air all the way down to the bottom of your pelvis. As you exhale, tighten your abdominal muscles just a little bit, or gently tighten your abdominal muscles towards your spine, and support your exhale or breathing out through your lungs and out your nose. Now, we do breathe through the nose unless, you know, allergies or a cold or something going on with your sinuses is making that feel forced or too constricted, then of course use your mouth to breathe. So you're breathing in. When you're breathing in, your belly stays a little taut until the very end, and then go ahead and push it out. I like to get a little dramatic in the beginning with my students on breath work, just so you begin to feel your belly moving back and forth as you breathe. So essentially in the breath, your belly is taut most of the breath other than the very end of inhale, where we release and fill as if we're filling the entire torso. So again, take a couple of those breaths. Breathe in through your nose, into your lungs. Breathe from collarbone all the way to pubic bone as you release your abs. Exhale, gently tighten your abdominal muscles towards your spine. Support your exhale through your lungs and out your nose. Only pause, and then begin your inhale through your nose. Fill from collarbone. Release your abs all the way to pubic bone, pushing your belly out if that feels right for you. And then exhale, once again, tightening your abdominal muscles towards your spine. If this is just too much today for you to remember, or at any time, just too much for you to do, just think about supporting your exhale via tightening your abdominal muscles gently towards your spine. There's a strength in that when we teach exertion exercise or resistance exercise. You're breathing out on the exertion for a reason. It keeps the core strong. So feel that strength here. As you continue breathing, you're feeling that core strength. You're feeling that center of your belly and below. Those are actually the second and third chakras, the cleanser healer and the personal power and self-love. How suiting for this show. And as you continue to breathe, I'd like for you to just take a moment and notice how long your inhale is and how long your exhale is. And then also notice the qualities of your breath. So the ease of your breathing or uneasiness of your breath, the smoothness or lack of smoothness in your breath. And you're just noticing, you're in an observation place. There's no judgment. There's no diagnosis. There certainly isn't any obsession. You're just noticing what's happening with your breath. The breath is very telling. It can often tell us something before the body-mind will, or it cues the body-mind into what is actually going on. So now you've noticed the smoothness, the ease, the length, and now I want you to equalize your breath. So how we equalize the breath is shorten the longer breath to the shorter breath. So if your exhale here is longer than your inhale, simply shorten it so they're equal. Take a couple of breaths there. Feel the breath still going all the way down to your sit bones and then all the way back out. Continuing with this equalized breath is what your homework will be. So first you'll find your place. Wherever it is, you're seated, you're standing, your eyes are open, and you'll just start to notice breathing, just what is happening with my breathing. And then start to tighten your abdominal muscles gently towards your spine as you exhale. And then you'll start to fill your lungs a little more, thinking about filling from collarbone to pubic bone. And then you'll notice the qualities of your breath, the smoothness, the ease, and the length. And then equalize your breath. And just taking 10 of those equalized breaths at the end of the day or some point in your day is something I'd like for you to add into your practice for this week. And again, if you want to write me, it's kimtalkradio@gmail.com. And let me know if you have questions or if you're observing something interesting. And practicing our happiness, practicing anything that keeps us in love, peace, and now. The breath is a good way for you to recommit to the practice. So you're starting to go down that spiral, like I said earlier in my example with my teacher, when I just didn't understand, you know, I was in that victim space of why is this happening to me? Or like Ross on Friends said, why do bad things happen to good people? I mean, we all know that feeling. When you feel that, come to your breath. Smile as you're breathing. If you're in a ridiculously bad mood, maybe it's a really good idea to do the Cheshire Cat / Jim Carrey smile and just light your face up with nothing but teeth. Looking in the mirror sometimes when you smile helps because, again, it brightens your face. It sometimes can take, how I have said this to students in the past is if you stand up tall, you know, with your sternum up high or your breastbone up high and your shoulders down and back and shoulders over your hips and hips over your knees that are nice and soft over your ankles and you just have your chin sitting right above your chest, not plunging forward, but sitting right above your chest and then you smile. For many people, not only does it take 10 years off, it takes 10 pounds off. Just being hunched over and feeling, I guess, slouchy or sloppy changes our attitude. So stand up tall. And that you can practice in any moment. To end the show today, I want to ask you to also contemplate you know, what is your truth? So when we talk about practicing now, some people call it practicing what's true or what is truly reality, not as you see it, but as it is. Practicing now, kind of my tagline right now is going to be practice now, always, A-L-L ways, in all ways, in any way. And although we know that practicing now is a challenge, we know that it is ours in any moment and that that's where our true strength lies. So I'm going to ask, once again, you practice your 10 breaths. You get back to me if there's something you want to talk about or you have any questions. Think about your truth or think about your now. How do you practice now? And I will see you here or talk to you here next week on the Seika Network, Kimberly's Intentional Moment, Blog Talk Radio. Until then, practice now, always, and know that we can always choose happiness in any moment and encourage others to do the same. Thank you.